Operation Fast and Furious. Not a great movie, but it may go down as one of the most botched operations by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives of all time. According to critics of the operation, ATF supervisor Dave Voth and his colleagues deliberately allowed weapons to fall into the hands of Mexican drug cartels. Those that the weapons were then used, according to a Mexican official, in the murders of at least 150 Mexican civilians and in the death of at least one U.S. federal agent. The case has also led to Attorney General Eric Holder being held in contempt of Congress. That was a fight won by House Republicans last Friday, the first time in history. For their part, the ATF has apologized.
However good our intentions, regardless of our resource challenges, and notwithstanding the legal hurdles we face in fighting firearms traffickers, we made mistakes.
That's William McMahon, who's a deputy assistant director of the ATF, testifying before Congress. We also heard from Attorney General Eric Holder saying much the same thing.
Allowing guns to walk, whether in this administration or the prior one, is wholly unacceptable. The use of this misguided tactic is inexcusable, and it must never happen again.
But after a six-month investigation by Fortune reporter Catherine Eban, it turns out that much of what we think we know about Fast and Furious is not exactly the case. Eban's article presents information gathered from more than 2,000 pages of confidential ATF documents and interviews with 39 people, including law enforcement officer Dave Voth, who speaks out for the first time. Catherine Eban joins us now to talk about this. Catherine, it's so nice to speak with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I have to tell you, I was shocked as I read through your article because literally it was, in many cases, the opposite of what I thought I knew about Fast and Furious. Let's kind of go through what you discovered as you investigated this. First of all, the basic claim that ATF, this specific team that was based in Arizona, purposefully allowed weapons to walk into the hands of Mexican drug cartels, you found that to be not the case.
That's correct. I found no actual evidence that there was an operational tactic by ATF to walk guns. As well, five agents who were directly involved in the Fast and Furious investigation told me the same, that there was no operational tactic. What I did find was a protracted battle between the ATF agents and prosecutors over what constituted probable cause to seize the weapons in question.
And it appears as though this was specific to Arizona. At one point, you say that the agents, by 2010, identified 20 suspects that paid for more than 650 guns. They tried to get prosecutors to allow them to arrest the individuals, but they were not able to get the prosecutors to give them permission to do that.
That's right. I mean, the prosecutors had to call the laws as they saw them. So prosecutors were telling them multiple repeated purchases of these weapons, no matter how suspicious, was legal in Arizona. The transfer of them to others was legal in Arizona. And what the agents needed to gather instead was direct evidence for each firearm they wanted to seize, that they were had planned to illegally purchase these on behalf of a drug cartel.
And some of it seems nonsensical, Catherine. I mean, they have evidence of somebody who's on welfare or somebody who's unemployed buying tens of thousands worth of dollars of guns. And as it turns out, even if that person walks out of the gun store and hands them to someone else, that's not probable cause because it turns out they may have changed their mind. Is that right?
That is how prosecutors, according to my reporting, that is how prosecutors were calling the laws as they saw them in Arizona.
And so, therefore, then what happened? The guns that are actually in question, including the gun that was found when Brian Terry, the agent, was killed, where did those come from and how did they get connected with this idea that ATF allowed them to walk?
Right. Well, so let's take this piece by piece. First of all, the ATF agents were in no doubt that the purchases that they were witnessing were almost certainly being made by straw purchasers. These were kids basically put up by the drug cartels to make these legal purchases of firearms. So that seemed utterly obvious to everybody investigating this. But, you know, as the lead ATF agent I describe, Dave Voth, says, you know, there's what you think, there's what you know, and there's what you can prove, and the first two don't count. So their job was to bring evidence to support a case, and that was the main effort. Now let's look at some of the other things that you raised, if you don't mind just repeating them.
In terms of the guns that were found when Brian Terry was killed, where did they come from? I mean, they were connected with this ATF operation.
Absolutely. So the evidence that I have is a straw purchaser named Jaime Avila, who had made repeated purchases, went to a gun dealership called the Lone Wolf Trading Company in Glendale, Arizona, and bought three Wasser 10 rifles. The gun dealer in question was cooperating with the ATF in the investigation. However, he was making the call as to whether he wanted to make what were on their face legal sales, which he chose to do. Because he was cooperating with the ATF, he sent the agents a fax which alerted them to this multiple purchase of firearms. It was the Martin Luther King weekend. The purchase was made on a Saturday. The agents didn't get the facts until a Tuesday. And so in that case, the guns had been gone for 3 days. There was no way to seize them. And, you know, even if they had witnessed the purchase, it's not clear they could have done anything about it because it was a legal sale. And months later, when Brian Terry, a Border Patrol agent, was found gunned down in Rio Rico, Arizona, the two of those three Wasser 10 rifles were found at the murder site.
But, Catherine, it seems that if this is all true and there's actually no evidence, and your documentation is incredible, that the ATF purposely allowed guns to walk, why isn't that the storyline we're getting from the U.S. government? Why isn't Eric Holder defending himself using that defense?
Well, according to my reporting, there is really a question of whether the administration and Eric Holder wanted to defend himself on this point, because the last thing that the Obama administration wanted was a debate over gun control in the run-up to a presidential election. So, you know, my sources were telling me that what the administration wanted to do was to basically hold this down in Phoenix. You know, if there was going to be a firestorm of blame, then say mistakes were made at the Phoenix level, whether by prosecutors at the Justice Department or ATF agents in Phoenix, and basically protect political appointees in Washington.
Catherine Eban, she's a reporter for Fortune who went through thousands of confidential ATF documents to try to get the bottom line on Fast and Furious. Catherine, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.